following message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 20th, 2017. The title of the message is Standing on the Ground of the Church, Being Under the Limitation of the Body of Christ, and Being Body Conscious in One Accord. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 9, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 to 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18.
Here together in your name.
Amen.
Oh, we love your name.
Amen.
We love your very being.
Amen.
Pray you will flow out more today through all the saints.
Amen.
Lord, we want to speak Christ to one another.
Amen.
Pray you would build us up more today.
Amen.
Get more of your expression among us today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your name.
Amen.
Thank you for the place you have chosen.
Amen.
Thank you for the cross. Lord, take us on, that we may be those standing, oh, and being limited by the body, oh, and being conscious of the body, in the one accord. Lord, we love you. Amen. Well, this morning or this week, we've been reviewing the fifth message in the Memorial Day Conference from White Plains, New York. And there are a lot of things in this message. It's quite full, and I don't have the burden or the time to cover everything, but I hope that I will share with you what I've enjoyed this week, and I hope that you all will share what you've enjoyed. And then by that, we'll see what the Lord is trying to impress us with this week. The title has these three major points in it: standing on the unique ground of the church, and being under the limitation of the body of Christ, and being body conscious in one accord. So I did enjoy something from each of these kind of three points, so maybe I can share that with you. The first thing is that we must stand on the unique ground of the church. The ground of the church is a marvelous, marvelous fact. It's not only a teaching in the Scripture, but it's something very experiential that all of us who are here in the church life have experienced. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And, you know, last week we saw that the nature of the church is heavenly. The nature of the church is Christ. The nature of the church never changes. And from 1 Corinthians 1:2, which we read this morning, is quite sovereign that the brothers used this verse, and Brother Lee used this verse, to show that the condition of the church does not change its nature and does not affect its standing. The church in Corinth was a mess. I don't know if that's the best word to use, but anyway, it was full of problems. There was divisions there. There was a lot of sin in the church there. There was heresy there. They were teaching there was no resurrection. A lot of problems, yet when Paul wrote to them, he wrote to the church of God, which is in Corinth. They were the church. The Lord preached the gospel to them through Paul, and they were saved, they were regenerated, and they were there standing as the church in Corinth, regardless of their condition. This is a marvelous thing. Condition may change. Condition of the church here may be wonderful today. It may be terrible in 2 years. I don't know. But as long as we're on the right ground, as long as we're standing for the Lord's testimony in New York City, we are the church in New York City.
Amen.
And we need to stand on this ground. We should not be, We shouldn't be defensive about this. We shouldn't be wishy-washy about this. The Bible is very clear. We, all the believers in New York City, are the church in New York City. And we're standing on this ground so that the Lord can go on in the church here. And it's the same in all the local churches. We are standing on the ground of the church. And I really enjoyed this verse from the Old Testament that we had on Tuesday, Deuteronomy 12:5. But to the place which Jehovah your God will choose. This phrase really struck me this week, and one of the saints brought it out on Friday night, The matter of the church is not our choice. God has chosen. And we're just going along with His choice. The verse says, "The place which Jehovah your God will choose out of all of your tribes to put His name," this is very important, "to His habitation shall you seek, and there you shall go. And there you will bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." These verses in Deuteronomy 12 set up this principle that God's heart, His intention, His desire is for all of His people to be one. And so my first burden is on this point about oneness. We are here standing on the ground of the church, and the ground of the church is the ground of oneness. We are one with all the believers in this city, and we're one with all the churches in the world, on the earth. We are here standing on this ground of oneness. And I don't know whether I ever appreciated this so much or how much we appreciate this, but I was just struck with this word, one. I wanted to call him 1107, but it was too late. There is one body in this universe, right? And we belong to it, right? There's one. There's one cup and one loaf, right? It's very interesting. God is one. There's only one God. Yes, He is Father, Son, and Spirit, but in His being, in His nature, you cannot separate Him. He is one. And everything He does is in oneness. He created one universe, right? He created one man. He has one son. There's only one cross in the whole universe, right? And when He was crucified and resurrected, He poured Himself out and He created, or He birthed one church. There's only one church in the universe. There is one church. Everything He does is one. There will be one kingdom to come, one new Jerusalem, one new heaven, one new earth. Everything He does is one. And so we have to be diligent to keep the oneness. And we have to be exercised to stand on this ground and to testify of the oneness of the body of Christ. And that's why we have one loaf. And that's why we have one cup on the table. Every week we're testifying we are one. We're one with the Lord and we're one with each other. We are the testimony of the one expression of God. He has one purpose and He has one expression. And that is the church on the earth today. Now in these verses in Deuteronomy 12, there are four characteristics of meeting on this ground of oneness. And it's in this footnote, and I'd like to read this to you. In Deuteronomy 12:5, there's a footnote. Footnote 1, "The children of Israel were not allowed to worship and enjoy the offerings they presented to God in the place of their choice." God chose, right? "They were to worship God in the place of His choice, the place where His name, His habitation, and His altar were. By bringing in their tithes and offerings and sacrifices to Him there. To fulfill these requirements was to have a unique center of worship, as Jerusalem would be later, for the keeping of the oneness among God's people, thus avoiding the division caused by man's preferences." And I think we all can realize or see that whenever we have our own preference, we just cause division. We just cause problem. Because we have a lot of preferences. We have a lot of opinions about the way things should be done. And in the New Testament, this is our history of Christianity. It's not so wonderful a lot of the time. "The revelation in the New Testament concerning the worship of God corresponds to the revelation in this chapter in at least four ways." These are the four characteristics. First, the people of God should always be one. We have to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. There should be no divisions among them. And I really enjoyed Psalm 133 this week. Brothers, can we put this up? Psalm 133 is a psalm on the oneness or on the unity. Let's read this together, just three verses. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It is like the fine oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon the hem of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that came mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life. I was really struck with this verse, this phrase, there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When we are one with the Lord and one with each other, standing on this ground of oneness, God's blessing is guaranteed. It's commanded. He commanded the blessing here. And since I've come into the church life here, I can testify the brothers here are absolutely one. And there is a blessing on this oneness. It doesn't mean we always agree about everything or that they've always agreed over the years about everything. You know, we have fellowship. We open our feeling to one another, but eventually we're just one. And that oneness is the ground, is the base for this commanded blessing. It's amazing. When I came into the church life, it was only about 100 saints, 125 saints. Now we're, 1,100 on the Lord's Day in five districts. And we've spread to New Jersey. There's 10 churches there of about the same size. This is commanded blessing, brothers and sisters. This is not our doing. It's not our endeavoring. We're not, you know, we're nobody. But the Lord commands the blessing on this ground. This is the way He's designed it. I don't know why, but this is the way He has ordained it. And He has chosen this, that we would be one. Amen. Second, the unique name into which God's people should gather is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:20. I think we have it here. We have that? No, we don't. Okay. Anyway, whenever two or three are gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. We need to gather in the Lord's name. No other name, and we take no other name. Right? Only the name of Jesus. By taking another name, we would denominate ourselves, and that would be cause division. The reality of this name, which is the Spirit, to be designated by any other name is to be denominated, divided. This is spiritual fornication. This is a serious thing. Third, in the New Testament, God's habitation, His dwelling place, is particularly located in our spirit. That is, in our mingled spirit, our human spirit, regenerated by the divine Spirit. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus was preaching the gospel to the Samaritan woman, she tried to distract Him from, He was explaining to her, He was exposing her sin to her. And she tried to, distract Him with, oh, people say we should worship on this mountain, but the Jews say you worship on that mountain. And the Lord Jesus made it very clear that the place to worship God is in spirit, in our mingled spirit, our human spirit mingled with the divine spirit. So for us to stand on this ground, we need to exercise our spirit. The reality of the oneness is in our spirit. There's no oneness in our soul. We think different things. We have different feelings about things. But in our spirit, we are one. In our spirit, the Lord can keep us, and we can be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Amen. Fourth, in our worship of God, we must have the genuine application of the cross of Christ, signified by the altar, by rejecting the flesh, the self, and the natural life, and worshiping God with Christ alone. This is seen in the verses in Deuteronomy, because he says, bring your offerings there. That is to the altar, which signifies the cross. Hence, the meeting of God's people for the worship of God should be in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the mingled spirit as the place of God's habitation, in the place where the cross is, and with the enjoyment of Christ as the reality of all the tithes, offerings, and sacrifices. This is the oneness of God's people, and this is the proper ground for the worship of God. Brothers and sisters, if we are clear about this, it will solve a lot of problems. And it will bring us into the reality of God's commanded blessing. It's not our choice. God has chosen. God has called us into this fellowship, into this place of worship. It is not our choice. It's not what we would decide, but God has chosen. Praise the Lord. It's a real freedom to be freed from this kind of decision ourselves, right? We just take God's choice. We have to choose God's choice. We have to go along with God's choice and cooperate with Him. But this is a very important point related to our knowing of life and the church, and our knowing the church. We stand on the ground of oneness. We stand on the ground of the church. And the second point is being under the limitation of the body. And I think 1 Corinthians 12 is a marvelous portion. And particularly verse 18 this week struck me. I'll just repeat it to you. Now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, even as He willed. So again, we're not in the body where we will to be. It is God's choice where we are placed in the body. He has placed you in the body where He willed. His choice, where He wants you to be. And He has given you the measure of grace to function in that place, to be in that position, in that place in the body. And so we have to accept His arrangement. This is really something. Sometimes, you know, in the 1 Corinthians 12, you have these two problems. Some say, oh, I'm not the eye, so I'm not a part of the body. They despise themselves. What does that mean? That means they don't accept where the Lord has placed them. Are you happy with where the Lord has placed you in the body? We all should be happy where the Lord has placed us. That's His will. That's His will for us. We happen to be in this district and not in the Bronx. That's His will for us. We have to be serving in this area of the, whether children's meeting or in the music service or an ushering. That's where He has placed us in the body. We should never despise ourselves. Every member of the body is necessary. So don't despise yourself. Another problem in 1 Corinthians 12 was that people despised others, right? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. That's chapter 12, verse 21. Yeah, let's read 22 together. But much rather, the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And Brother Ed's going to follow me. He has some burden on this verse. I think it's very good. We should never despise another member of the body. Don't say, I have no need of you. We need every member of the body. I remember a period of time when Brother Lee was emphasizing that all can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. All can prophesy one by one. But I don't think there's any local church where everyone in the meeting was prophesying. Maybe if you have a small Lord's Day meeting of 15 or 20, all can prophesy. There's just not enough time, number one. It's just difficult. All are able to prophesy, that's fine. But there was kind of a pressure that all should prophesy. And I remember Brother Lee said something like, don't despise the members who don't speak in the meeting, the quiet ones. Never despise them. And he likened them to the skin of the body. You know, without your skin, you will not live very long. All the bacteria will come, all the germs will come, and you'll be septic real fast. We need the skin on the body. But to us, the skin, what does it do? It doesn't talk, it doesn't see, it doesn't smell. But those members which may be quiet, maybe you don't hear them, but listen, they are important to the body. I would venture to say a lot of prayer is going on. Maybe you don't hear it. Prayer in secret. A lot of concern, a lot of, actually even a lot of hidden service is going on that we just don't know. So we should never despise another member of the body. We always have to treasure one another, even though we may not realize the function, but anyway, every member is necessary. Just as in our physical body, every member is necessary. Very important. So we should not despise ourselves, neither should we despise others. And I think a key to this is Romans 12:3. I think we have that verse, Romans 12:3. Let's read this together. For I say, through the grace given to me, if we would live this verse, not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, that will again solve many problems in the body. We should never think more highly of ourselves. We should always think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of place. Every member has a definite place in the body. A definite assignment in the body, a particular portion with which he serves the body of Christ. So we should never despise another member, nor should we ever think more highly of ourselves. Let's finish these three verses, 4, 5, and 6. For just as in one body we have many members, the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. This portion in Romans 12 is also very particular on many members, but we do not have the same function. So we should treasure all the members of the body. And this point is being under the limitation of the body of Christ. And being under the limitation has first to do with appreciating all the members. And secondly, it has to do with according to the measure, right? According to the grace given to us. And 1 Corinthians 1:10, let's read that. Okay, I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians 10:13. I didn't put that on the sheet. 2 Corinthians 10:13, Paul brings out this point that he was under the measuring, under the limitation of the body of Christ. Okay, go ahead. But even as far as you. Paul had this realization and this vision that God is a God of measure. He is apportioning to each of us a measure of faith. And he's giving to each of us a measure of our function. And we should be careful and exercise not to go beyond that measure. Paul was this way. He preached the gospel to the Corinthians. They were measured to him. So he told them, we will not boast beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which the God of measure has apportioned to us to reach even as far as you. The God of measure had apportioned the Corinthians to Paul and to the apostles. And so he had the full ground to help them, to minister to them, to in some ways rebuke them. He had the portion to do that because God had measured that to him. So we also need to learn to live under the measure of the body of Christ, under the limitation of the body of Christ, and function together with the other members of the body of Christ. Amen. Then the third point, the last point that I want to cover, then Ed has something to share, is that we must be body conscious and in one accord. We should always consider the body and care for the body, even more than our own local church. All the local churches are autonomous, that's true. But we are in the body of Christ, which is universal. And we should always be conscious of the body of Christ. And so that whatever we do, whatever decisions we make, would not damage the churches, would not offend any of the other churches, would not affect them negatively. We have to be conscious of the body in the way we serve together, in the way we conduct ourselves, the way we even hold our meetings. We should be concerned. Brother Nee talked about this a lot. He said we have to be careful that what we do would not negatively affect other churches. And how would the churches feel about any decision that we would make? And I can testify the brothers pay a lot of attention to this. Because in the past, things have happened in different parts of the world, and things that some saints have brought to them and share with them, practices they have damaged other churches. We have to be exercised. We have to be careful. That we would not affect the body of Christ in any negative way, but we would just be pure in heart and minister Christ to one another. Even when we visit the saints in other places, just minister Christ to them. And just share what you've enjoyed with them. And have no motive, no thought, even no thought of correcting anything. You may see something, you may think, oh, this is not what we do in New York. Let me tell you, forget about that. That's not our portion, right? God of measure has not measured that to us. We need to be careful and be body conscious and body centered. This lifts our sight, lifts us above just being concerned about our own situation, our own service, our own locality. It broadens our view. We are members of the body of Christ. And the other churches are also part of the body of Christ. And so we need to be conscious of them and consider them and be careful not to do something that may offend them or may, you know, disturb them in any way. We should be body-centered. The last practical point of this is that, well, first of all, you know, we were just finished the Summer School of Truth with the young people, and some of them may testify this morning. I don't know if they come in, testify what they've enjoyed. But we were on this point of life, and the goal of life is the building. So we were on this point of knowing and experiencing life for the building, which is very much the topic of this conference, knowing life and the church. And I just feel like this conference that we have had in Memorial Day here in White Plains, New York, is so strikingly sovereign of God that these messages were given here in New York. And those of us who were there in White Plains, especially on Lord's Day morning when Andrew spoke on the message we covered last week, and he played those portions of Brother Lee speaking in the church in New York City in 1958 and 1960. And it was so surprising to us that he spoke on this topic of knowing life and knowing the church. And I thought when I heard this, Oh my goodness, this is why the brothers wrote these outlines, because they knew Brother Lee shared this in New York in 1958. But then I was more surprised, because I was sitting right behind the two brothers that wrote the outlines, that they turned to each other and said, "Did you know he shared that here?" And "No, I didn't know. Did you know?" "No, I didn't know." How sovereign is that? They didn't even know when they were preparing this for White Plains. They did not know that Brother Lee spoke these things in New York in 1958. When he established the church here, he spoke the same thing. And we reviewed this in this conference. So brothers, I just feel like, I don't know, I feel a little, I don't know what the right word is. It is still sovereign. But for us to review this during the summer, when many of us were away for the college training, many of us were away for the perfecting training, many of us were away for the summer school of truth, many of us are away this weekend for the Bible camp, I don't know how much weight we're giving to the review of these messages. And I just want to end with this. Maybe we can't go on forever. You know, we're not going to kill it. But I'm begging you, don't let this go. Get into this. We will have week 6 next week, and then we're going to take 1 week. The brothers feel we should take 1 week to review all 6, messages. So we'll just pick one point for each message for that next week, the following week. But my point is, don't let this go so lightly. Get into this. Dive into this, because I feel this was God's sovereign conference for us here in New York, to repeat what Brother Lee spoke here in 58 and in 1960. So may we exercise to practice these things and to get into these things and share them with one another. Brother Ed?
Amen. I just want to share very briefly on some of the verses we had this week. I was really impressed of the verses that Brother Dennis chose for this week. So I'll just say a few words on some of the verses. Actually, the first one we already have here, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read that together. God. Is faithful, whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. First of all, God is faithful. Amen. We all like that. God is faithful to help me, to enable me to get this, that, or the other. No. God is faithful to call us. Oh, yes, he called us. We have been called before the creation of the world in Ephesians 1:4. But he called us with a very, very specific purpose. We were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How much time do we spend in the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord? If we don't spend enough time, we're not spending time in that for which our faithful God called us. So how crucial is this? This is number one. This is what God wants. So this has to be what we also want. Then the rest of the verses I don't think are here. 1 Corinthians 12:24, but our comely members have no need But, there's a big but here. God has blended the body together. Why do we need to be transformed? Because God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lack. And what's the purpose? Verse 25, that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another. You know, that is not so easy. Sometimes there may be a brother or a sister who doesn't say hello, goes right by you like you're a piece of stone. Do you like that? And sometimes we may even get offended by some of the dear brothers and sisters. Forget about it. We have to bite our tongue and praise the Lord that we all are being blended together so that there will be no division. Our brother spoke very clearly. The church is one. That includes our caring for one another. So that's not so easy, right? Really not so easy. And another verse is John 17:11 concerning oneness, just the very end of the verse, that they may be one, what? Even as we are one. We have to be one like God is one. In other words, absolutely one. Now, how do we get there? What does that mean? In Philippians 2:2, make my joy full that you think the same thing. Maybe we can do that. Having the same love. Joined in soul. Our mind, emotion, and will has to be the same. Thinking the one thing. So, really, that is not so easy. But it, even worse, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, the end again, that you be attuned. Like an orchestra. No note of key. And sometimes that note of key is just the look on your face. You went, right? So we have to be attuned in the same mind. Well, that's okay. In the same opinion. Can you imagine the whole church having one opinion? You might say, oh, well, what's the big deal? Oh, yes, there is a big deal. And the big deal is in Ephesians 3:10. In order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, which are these, especially Satan and his fallen angels, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known. How? Through the church. Here's the point. If we're one, we can manifest the multifarious wisdom of God. How would that be? God could say, look, these sinners that I have redeemed, look, they're one. They express me. Shame on you, Satan. So there's a purpose even to our being one. Well, that's just some of the verses that I enjoyed. The others that Dennis already mentioned, I don't need to mention.